Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. At this point in the academic year, we are without fail subjected to numerous sermons dealing with the subject of the call. As an historian, it is next to impossible for me to transgress sacred tradition, so you will have to submit yourselves to yet another. But while many texts do not lend themselves to the topic of the call easily, the text for this morning clearly applies to the men of this campus, particularly at this time, those who will soon be going out on their first calls and vicarage placements, but also to the professors, first and second year field workers, and yes, even to those who have been described as scared to minister. We will see this morning how the phrase of Peter addressed to Jesus, "You have the words of eternal life," relates to us as we go forth to preach the good news of Christ crucified and risen again. The setting for this text is not particularly pleasant. Having just completed the Bread of Life discourse, many of the people who had been traveling with Jesus departed from him. His words were hard for the people to accept. They were repulsed by Jesus' words regarding the necessity of eating his flesh and drinking his blood. The thought of a mere fleshly man acting as the means for the removal of the world's sins did not fit well with their conception of what a Savior ought to be. What is more, this man claimed to be the only way in which one could come to the Father. And also, only through the Father could people come to him. He was being exclusivistic. But what Jesus was here doing was offering to the people the gospel in a most manifest form. He placed himself before them as the Savior for their sins to be received through faith. He presented them with the simple offer of eternal life. And what was the response? Rejection. Many, not some, not a few, but many of the people disowned the one whom they had followed. Jesus' exclusivistic demand that in order to be saved they must partake of him was simply something they were unwilling to accept. So they left him. The same will happen to you. As you go out to preach the gospel, your proclamation of Jesus' words of eternal life will also be rejected. The simple message that we sinners are justified before God by Christ's all-availing sacrifice through faith will be rejected by many to whom you present it. You will be accused of being exclusivistic. After all, who are we to say that only we have the truth? Certainly other religions must have some of the truth of God, therefore we must be tolerant. But while we can be tolerant, we must remember that tolerance does not imply compromise. We cannot compromise the message of Christ crucified and risen again as the only way to salvation. And so you see that rejection by many is simply the nature of ministry under the cross. The temptation, when faced with controversy over the gospel, can sometimes overcome the preacher. We are daily faced with the question, do you also wish to leave? In fact, it is likely that some of you will leave the preaching of the gospel behind. The pressure can become overwhelming. But perhaps even worse are those who remain, but change the message. When faced with the prospect of losing members on account of holding the pure word, one can be tempted into doing just about anything to retain the people. But this is in direct conflict with the example and ministry of Jesus. It is almost shocking to note how throughout his ministry, Jesus seemed almost ambivalent at times over and against his followers. He was often faced with desertions by those who claimed to be his disciples. Yet his message remained firm. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. our preaching must do likewise. We cannot compromise on this message merely for the sake of avoiding compromise or controversy. Many will be offended by the foolish message of God, yet it remains our charge as ambassadors of Christ, entrusted with the words of eternal life, to proclaim it in its truth and purity. At the same time, neither are we to seek out controversy or be cantankerous as we present the gospel. If and when controversy confronts us, we must first ask whether the gospel is truly at stake. Discretion is the better part of valor when controversy erupts. But as ministers of the word, our position demands that we ensure that the proclamation of Christ and the rightful administration of his sacraments be maintained. We are called to be faithful stewards of Jesus' life-giving words, to proclaim the message of God's love for man in our crucified Lord. But the precious words of the gospel are not only for the flocks placed under our care. They are addressed to us as well. We need, first of all, to hear of God's love for us in Christ. For on our own, we would desert the Lord. But through God's grace, we have been drawn to Christ. We have heard the message of forgiveness in God's holy word. We have been washed in the water of regeneration, crucified and raised with Christ. We have fed on his body and blood and received forgiveness and strengthening of our faith. We have received the absolution from our pastors as from the mouth of Christ himself. We have heard the word of forgiveness from our brothers in the faith. We have the words of eternal life. Christ died for your sins. You truly are forgiven. So when the question comes to us, do you also desire to depart? We answer in the negative. We have received forgiveness. We have received it from our Lord himself. To whom else can we go? So you see, these words are of great comfort for us, even in the imperfections and shortcomings which will be present as we carry out Christ's ministry. We have our risen Lord to support us. He has gone before us, even to the cross, and taken away our sins. Now he makes this reality present for us daily in his word and sacraments. Now he has entrusted these words to us. We have the words of eternal life, and we have the occasion to relate this good news to those who have already come into God's kingdom and those who are yet to come. We have the unique gift of speaking to the world the words it so needs to hear. God, in his foolishness, has offered up his only Son to take away your sins. We have been given a great opportunity to preach these words of eternal life, which have been entrusted to us. God grant that we are faithful in so doing. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.